Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time.
Wednesday edition of Sports Time Radio. I'm the Big Jack. With me is Dan the Man. If you'd like to call into the podcast, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need, head on over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, since it is Wednesday, the blog did go up over there this morning, so swing on by and check that out when you get the opportunity. And while you're at sportstimeradio.com, you'll see that link. If you click it, it'll take you to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. You know what the heck? You clicked it. You went all the way over there. You might as well go ahead and like it. But don't forget we have the Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. Now, Dan and I are also on Twitter. I am at Burke Time, and Dan the Man is at?
Dan Z Man.
So, all right, Dan, well, believe it or not, I know looking out your window, you probably wouldn't believe this, or if you lived in Texas or some of those other areas, but pitchers and catchers officially report today, and it is spring training. How you feeling?
Pretty good. I mean, better than last year. Well, they did get there, right, last year, and then they got sent home right away or stuck in Arizona, Florida.
Didn't they go about a month or so before they shut them down?
Yeah, it's been so long already, I forgot.
Yeah, so, again, it's always nice to see, you know, everybody report and get going and stuff because it does kind of make me feel like we're going to get spring, even though with the weather we've had for the last couple weeks here, I'm beginning to wonder. Of course, when it's July and August and it's 100 whatever, you know, we'll be bitching about the opposite stuff. But, you know, anyways, it's nice to get that rolling. And, you know, I can never remember how long before the position players report. Is it 2 weeks that the pitchers and catchers get the head start? Okay, yeah, I can never remember that.
It just seems so late. I mean, I don't know, maybe I'm just off, but it just seems later than usual. I feel like everybody...
Yeah, you know, to be fair, a lot of guys have already reported, you know, even if you're a position player, you know, they go anyways to get kind of a little bit of a head start, so... you know, just kind of, you know, how that goes. But yeah, you know, I'm pretty happy with the fact that it's rolling along. And I did see an article here, Dan. Your guy Jed Hoyer came out and called the Chris Bryant trade rumor reports inaccurate. He also mentioned that the Cubs intended on signing a reliever, and they did do that. They inked Brandon Workman to a deal today. Mm-hmm. So they apparently worked that out. Now, are you buying this Jed, we're not going to trade Chris Bryant act? Because you and I damn well know they're not going to re-sign him, and they're going to get absolutely nothing this offseason when he walks away in free agency. So how much of this saintly, I'm not going to deal my guy stuff are you buying?
I'm not buying it at all. I mean, no, and I hate to even say this, but the Jake Arrieta signing just literally is a flashback, and not because it's Jake Arrieta coming back to the Cubs, because it's like Star Wars. You know, if you watch Star Wars, everyone loves Star Wars, whatever. The three series all essentially take place and start in the same spot. You know what I mean? They all start in the desert, in the sand, All three Star Wars series. Yeah.
Oh, sorry.
Well, the last series was Jakku. But, you know, I'm trying to get an easy explanation. You know, they all start in the same one, and that's one of the things that people don't like about the Star Wars anthology, I guess you'd call it, right? Is that right? Anthology, because there's trilogy,
sure.
But there's three trilogies. But they don't like about that anthology, and there's a reason why, because it's pretty much telling you what's going to happen, right? We've already seen this. Give me something new. And that's kind of what I feel like with the Cubs. You know, I really thought with Jed's press conference, whoever wrote that speech for him, or if that was from him, it was great. Yeah, it was like listening to any modern-day politician. You know, that's going to tell you all this great stuff, but then magically after January 20th, we've already seen our gasoline prices raise up to 50 cents in Illinois. Is it 50? You know, 50, 60 cents in 1 month. Well, not even a month. So, you know, I find that interesting. You know, that happens. And that's kind of what I feel like with the Cubs right now and Jed. Great, you promoted the guy that came with the guy that you hired that won you a World Series. But if you want to show the fans, I don't know, Big Jack, seeing this, everything that's happening is just kind of pointing to the fact that the Ricketts are the Ricketts are just like any other owner of the Cubs. We're just seeing the same thing over. People don't want to see the same thing again. And that's where Star Wars came into it and, you know, kind of my whole thing right there. We don't want to see it again. And you can't tell me that we're not seeing it again. Granted, Jake Arrieta wasn't signed for 5 years for like 50, 60 million, but he may as well have been.
Yeah, well, you know what makes me kind of laugh about the Arrieta signing is John Lester's agent actually approached the Cubs about coming back. And what they were told was that they didn't have any money to sign him. They actually offered the Cubs the opportunity to sign John Lester for the veteran minimum. And they told them that they couldn't do it because they didn't have the money. Arrieta got a $6 million deal, which is more than it would have cost the Cubs to sign John Lester. So I don't know why they just didn't tell Lester they weren't interested in bringing him back instead of jerking him around like that after he did, you know, a quality job for them as a, you know, a big time top of the rotation starter. I thought that was kind of odd. And while I did mention the Cubs added Brandon Workman to their bullpen, I just noticed this one. I did not realize this. They also brought back Pedro Strop, who's coming off an injury. So while you're talking about things kind of going back, here we get another blast from the past, and here's Pedro Strop. You know, that just kind of falls into place. And then, you know, Dan, I know that, you know, Brandon Workman ended the season with the Phillies last year, but do you know where he pitched for the first one, two, three, four, five seasons of his Major League Baseball career?
Boston.
There you go. So Jed going right back to the Theo well and, you know, picking up where he left off. So, you know, yeah, just kind of a wonderful year. And, you know, Workman was expected to be the Red Sox closer last year, and he just completely washed out. You know, I know he went to Philadelphia, and let me double check here, but I don't think he did much better. You know, I know the Cubs aren't paying him much. The contract calls for $1 million with $2 million in incentives. And here's what they're getting, Dan. He made 7 appearances for Boston and posted a 4.05 ERA before they shipped him off to Philly. where he made 14 appearances, went 1-4, and posted a 6.92 ERA. Now, of course, I'm not going to hold 2020 against this guy because I won't hold it against any player. So hopefully the Cubs are getting the guy who in 2019 posted 16 saves with a 1.88 ERA and went 10-1 for Boston. So let's hope it's a little closer than the guy who pitched last year. But you know, either way, it's a minor signing compared to what this team could have done, right?
Oh yeah.
So we'll see how that rolls out, and then you know maybe you can explain this one to me, Dan, because I couldn't figure this one out. I heard them discussing the Oakland A's yesterday, or maybe it was 2 days ago on the MLB Network, and they were complaining a lot about their bullpen. Now, you know, the A's just added Yusmeiro Petit, and they brought back your guy Sergio Romo, and they started talking about both those guys being options for closer with the A's. And obviously, you know, they didn't re-sign Liam Hendricks. He's now a White Sox. You know, the A's generally don't spend big money on closers. But, you know, these guys are, you know, they're professional reporters. They have all the staff in the world. Did they completely forget that Jake Diekman is in the A's bullpen and will probably be the closer unless he gets injured?
Well, you're only supposed to touch on the hot topics, right?
So, yeah, but I don't understand why you crap all over a team. You know, Oakland has been a team that has developed closer after closer. Remember, Blake Treinen came out of nowhere. Luis Severino came out of nowhere. Hendricks came out of nowhere. Do they really think the A's can't do it again with a Jake Diekman or, you know, one of the other guys they're going to throw in there, that you're looking at the 38-year-old Romero and the almost 37-year-old Petit to be the guy at the back end of the game? Oh, no, I killed Dan. Dan,
did you mute
yourself?
Dan?
Hi, Dan.
I'm here. As I was saying, I accidentally muted myself. Not that everyone needed to know, right? You know, I think part of it is, when they're kind of tearing them down like that, isn't that just because they have to fill their narrative?
Yeah, you know, I always get curious, you know, about the reasoning, and a lot of times, you think a little more thoroughly with it than I do. I just see it as kind of a, you know, almost a slap in the face for no reason. And I to me, it was almost like they didn't look at the roster and just decided, yeah, this is it. You know, they're going to have to decide which one of these two guys are closing, and, you know, forget about anything else. That's just how it goes. And I was just kind of like, wait, you know, and I knew as soon as they started talking about it that they had Diekman. Know, and there's also a possibility that they're actually going to get A.J. Puck back. It might be Punk. I know it's P-U-K, but I think it's Punk. And with all the injuries he's had, there's a lot of rumors that the A's are going to put him in as a short reliever, closer type of guy. So it may end up being him as the big time closer for this team. So it just makes me kind of think they're clueless, and I don't want to listen to them, or they're just not really paying attention to what's going on with the team. And that always bothers me when it's your job.
yeah, you know, for me, it's I'm pretty much with you on that. You know, it's just that's where I come up with do you think it has to do with the narrative, and you know whether grabbing a headline, you know, the good old clickbait, or you know, for television having a good thing, a good topic to just kind of draw people in, you know, and is that a result of society kind of reaching out for maybe the dark side of things, you know, like you mentioned yesterday with NASCAR, there's still a lot of people who watched for their wrecks.
Yeah, you know, I guess maybe. Yeah, well, you know, I think laziness has a lot to do with it, but I do wonder if, you know, the A's don't really play the style of baseball that, you know, because it's a Brian Kenny show. It was MLB Tonight that was taking shots at their bullpen. And, you know, the A's don't really play that style, you know, that analytical style that Brian Kenny professes his love to. And I just wonder if maybe that had something to do with it, you know, that he wasn't going to like their moves no matter what they do. You know, and obviously it doesn't look like the A's are going to be anywhere close to the team they've been for the last probably 3 or 4 years. You know, they let a lot of their guys go for whatever, you know, whatever reason. Again, it looks like it's another salary dump situation like we're dealing with the Cubs and the Red Sox. So, yeah, you just wonder if maybe that's why they're taking shots at them, because they're not going to be as good, and they want to make it seem like they were ahead of the curve if the A's have a down year. And we killed Dan again. Why do we keep killing Dan? I don't know why we keep killing Dan. It just happened. You know, we're waiting for Dan to figure out he's muted himself, or maybe he went away. I don't know.
Sorry, everyone's leaving the house. That you gotta pull a Vin Scully and just keep rolling with it.
Well, I was done. You know how long I vamped there with really nothing to say. So I was kind of waiting for you to jump in and finish out my point, and you weren't there. So,
yeah.
You know, tell them to get, you know, they know we do the podcast from 4:30 to 5:30. Tell them to get the hell out of your way.
But it's just easier to pick a team apart, isn't it? And it's, you know, when you said Brian Kenny, isn't that kind of his MO? He doesn't really seem to focus on the positive unless it, you know, is war or something like that. But, you know, seems to be like the guy that wants to, I guess you'd say his shtick, wherever that term came from, is to be that guy that challenges every team. You know, oh, I'm analytics, I got to make you think. So, and therefore he's got to challenge the team and try to be the guy who's right. So I think that's part of it. But, you know, I think that's one of the things that's lost with the MLB Network and why I don't really miss it all that much. Towards, you know, before I got rid of the extra sports package on, you know, cable, you know, several years ago, the only show I was watching was Chris Rose and, you know, High Intentional Talk, because a lot of it just got so boring. You know, I tried watching Harold and that other guy in the mornings, and, you know, it just, I don't know. I thought when MLB Network was coming up, it was going to be Baseball Tonight, you know, on steroids. Forgive the pun. on, you know, just on another level. And I thought we were going to learn about baseball, you know, just dedicated to Major League Baseball. But, you know, it seems like it's more dedicated to just certain teams, and, you know, I don't know. It's just, I guess it's say, needless to say, it's not exactly what I thought I was going to be, and it kind of tuned me out, you know, a little bit. But I did want to talk to you, Big Jack, because apparently I signed up for Baseball America magazine.
No, actually, you didn't. That was your Christmas present from me.
Oh,
so.
Cool. I was, you never know. I've gotten other subscriptions for free, but we're not going to talk about those. So the first issue, and, you know, this one, and oh, my God, Big Jack, and I hate to sound like this, but this is, you know, one of the biggest reasons I used to be a subscriber to USA Today, the baseball football thing.
Yeah.
I usually never read the football. I usually just gave that, you know, my dad took that one. But the baseball one, you know, I don't care how many pages it was. I literally read it from page to page in, you know, probably a couple days. That's not to say I don't like, I don't know, with this sports stuff like this, it is actually kind of nice to have a copy in your hand. Whether I save it or recycle it eventually, you know, whatever. I still like reading my books on the Kindle, but, you know, the first thing obviously is about, it's January issue, right? And thank you for this Christmas gift. It's all about prospects, right? So they started talking about the realignment of minor league baseball and what baseball is doing. And, you know, I mean, so personal feelings aside, you know, or you include personal feelings, it does suck. It sucks for, was it like 40 teams that did not get an invite to be an affiliate for, you know, whatever said team. But what nobody talked about was the fact that the Cubs, the Yankees, you know, all these teams, there was a clause in there that allowed them to invite back all their affiliates if they wanted to. They just had to follow certain guidelines. You know, so it wasn't like a done deal. But, you know, it's just, it's one of those. Sometimes to improve some things, you've got to get rid of some things. And, you know, if I think this is done correctly, I think the teams that weren't invited could possibly, you know, if they're trying to get it all geographically together, so I think they would have the possibility of forming their own independent leagues too. So, you know, there's positives and minuses to it. But one of the things that stood out, so essentially for players or for fans, nothing's changing except if you're not invited, your team's not invited back, right? So that's not changing for fans. Everything's kind of going to be run the same way. But for the players, they'll benefit the most, you know. Their pay will increase. You know, the first-tier guys will see from $300 a week to $400. And those, you know, some will get up to $500 or $600 a week and up to $700 when you're in AAA. It's still, I don't know, Big Jack, I didn't even do the math, but, you know, you're getting taxes taken out. It's still kind of a, I don't know, just doesn't seem like that much. But they said that one of the benefits was, and I didn't know this about minor league baseball, but, you know, the minor leaguers paid dues to the clubhouse guy. And the clubhouse guy was supposed to supply, you know, food for them. I don't know if that was at the game or, you know, how that worked for them on the road. But what they were saying was, you know, these guys, these kids were all responsible for their own meals. So unless you had a sponsor, you know, or your mom or dad were sending you money, we both know that this entire league, minor league system, isn't filled with, you know, American kids that, you know, live a couple of states away. You know, some of these guys come from nothing, and they don't have a mom or dad or a cousin, grandpa, to send them stuff from, you know, Brazil, say. So the one thing Major League Baseball fixed up was they're feeding the, I think the team, either the minor league team or Major League Baseball is feeding, you know, they're paying for it. So these kids are being fed every day. So I don't know. I think it's a positive. So, you know, their checks got a boost. They're going to be providing food for the players. and those clubhouse dues have been banned completely. So I think it's a good thing. And then it said MLB teams will be, well, the MLB Major League will be responsible for providing food for players and staff when they are at the ballpark. Minor league team has the minor league team owner is the snack mom though. He's got to bring the snacks. So you know, get your sunflower seeds, Capri Suns. You know, so I mean, there's some positivity, and to be honest, aside from the clubhouse dues, Big Jack, I feel like you brought all this up, you know, many months ago when this first came out, and I don't know, I don't feel like we had a negative, you know, screw the MLB conversation after what you went through. So I don't know, you know, I was just kind of looking at some of the player stuff. I was reading it. I didn't go through everything. But I thought it was interesting, though, and I do kind of like the way it's set up, where they're going to have just four minor leagues now. You're going to have here we go. And this is pretty interesting. There's AAA. It has East and Midwest and then West. So, unfortunately, the West teams get screwed because you're looking at Oklahoma City all the way to Sacramento. So those trips will be interesting. Like I said, they're trying to keep them geographically close where the East Midwest, or, well, the East and Midwest, they're all pretty close. So I guess you still have some travel. But then we go down to Double A and there's going to be Eastern, Southern and Texas. And then High A is the Mid-Atlantic, Midwest and Northwest. And then Low A is California, Florida State, and South Atlantic. So, I mean, I don't know. This is something we've discussed before, and it's like, how many damn minor league teams do you have? You know, some of them, you know, like the Cubs, you had this Eugene I didn't know about for a long time. I don't think they were invited. But, you know, so I don't know. I think it kind of breaks it down a little better. And the one thing is, I did not know this, but the minor league system was completely technically independent of Major League Baseball. I didn't, you know, I get it that, you know, they're two separate leagues and all, but I didn't realize it was completely independent. You know, I thought there was more to it. So essentially, if I understand this correctly, Minor League Baseball, you know, technically doesn't exist as an organization. It's obviously the branding you don't want to get rid of and things like that. But it, you know, it's going to be all ran by Major League Baseball. So I think with them taking control over it, it's going to help, you know, make things better for everybody. I don't know. What are your thoughts on it? I know I didn't really give you a whole lot, but it's great first issue. So I got a lot to go through.
Yeah, well, first off, I'm glad you like it because you're going to get it for the next 2 years. So So yeah, it was a better deal to get it for 2 years than for one. So you get it for 2 years. So you know, you get to deal with that. Yeah, you know, there was a lot of stuff there I didn't know. I mean, with the limited amount of money they make, the fact that they were basically paying for their own meals is just, that's ridiculous. So yeah, you know, that was, you know, kind of interesting. And I, as much as I hate to say it, I understand Major League Baseball wanting to make it smaller. You know, nothing against some of those leagues. And I know there was talk that the teams in the Carolinas that didn't get invited back are just planning on starting their own independent league. So that would be cool. And it would be nice if they could continue to keep baseball alive there. Cause I know it is very popular. You know, obviously they're not drawing, you know, 40,000-50,000, but they get good crowds for what, you know, for what the situation is there. But you know, Dan, when you think about it, I mean, how many guys on a low class A roster honestly have a shot at making the major league team? what would you say? Maybe 10-15% on the high side?
I think that's maybe 5.
Yeah. So you know, basically what owners are doing is they're saving, and obviously it's just a minimal amount of money, but they're saving money by, not having that inflated, expanded roster. And in a way, this may help teams focus on being able to develop their prospects, because a manager isn't dealing with it as many guys. They don't have to look at a guy like me who kept trying and never really had a shot, but kept showing up at tryouts hoping to catch on. It makes financial sense, and obviously I know it sucks for these towns that are, gonna lose their affiliation, but having all the degrees, that business is about making money, and with what happened last year, teams lost millions, if not billions, of dollars. They've got to find ways to recoup that, and just raising ticket prices isn't enough. So I understand. I don't like the situation, but I understand it. So, hopefully these guys can catch on in other places.
Well, not only that, I mean, Major League Baseball, let's just take the Cubs, for instance, guys, or the Sox. With the amount of money that they typically don't spend and what they've spent, knocking them down to 4 teams. I mean, if you have 8 different teams in your system and you bring them all back and you're now in control of their facilities and all that, is it feasible for any team to meet the standards that Major League Baseball has put forth into 8 separate stadiums, teams, clubhouses, locker rooms, travel? Can you accommodate all 4, all 8 levels? And that's where I think it's more doable with the way it's set up now. I mean, let's be honest. I think if the Cubs were shelling out the money, Andrew Berlin would have waited a couple of years to affiliate with the Cubs. But you never know what kind of – I don't know the full details of their agreement. But and I bring the South Bend Cubs up because, I mean, we've been to their facility. It's a great thing, great park for family, friends, all that whole nine. But then the training facility they have is just spectacular. And I'm hoping that they were feeding their players, because we got fed for free, in the press booth. But, if they're going to have those training facilities, it's a great opportunity. I mean, the Cubs use South Bend site as their second place or, their training facility during the COVID season. So, I mean, if that's telling you anything, can you imagine if Iowa was that way? I don't know if they're that close, though. But, for the Sox, that don't ever really work because Carolina. But, they're going to upgrade the facilities, so it's just going to help the players get better. And like you said, the guy with 5% chance of making it, maybe he'll have to work harder to get to that level to get in. And that's one of the things I read, too, is that they're hoping to have, independent leagues for people who aren't at this level and can be focused on and then possibly get to, Major League Baseball system. But I got to take off for 3 minutes or 5.
Yeah, and also, don't forget, there are a lot of places for guys to play. If they don't catch on here with, with an independent team, there are leagues in, obviously we know about the leagues in Japan. We know about the leagues in Korea. There are Australian leagues. I'm willing to bet at this point, with as popular as baseball has become, there's probably a league just about anywhere, anywhere and everywhere. Now, again, I don't know what kind of quality level you're going to get or you would going to be facing. You know, I know Japan has been compared to a little above AAA, you know, not major league level, but close, you know, in between major league and AAA, almost what you'd say, you know, 4A or something like that. You know, Korea, you know, I don't know a ton about it, but, you know, they've, you know, some guys have come back and become, you know, Eric Thames came back and really started to produce with the Brewers. So, you know, there are a lot of opportunities out there for these guys, you know, if they want to continue down that road. And I mean, I could get both sides, you know, if you don't want to, you know, stay on that path, because it's not easy. I mean, you're riding the bus or you're doing whatever it is, but there are quite a few opportunities out there for you if you would like to just try to continue to play. So we'll see, and who knows, maybe this gives a fledgling league for another, you know, in another place, a chance to grow and maybe flourish with some of these guys that are cast-offs.
Let's talk about you and I personally. I live 10, 15 minutes from an independent league team, Joliet Slammers, I think they're called now. They do pretty well. Had it not been for, you know, our situation 2020, I would have gone to some games. And then, you know, a little bit closer to you, I don't know if you would say it's that much closer, but we have the Chicago Dogs. You know, they even, you know, whoever their investors are, went out on a limb and signed Carlos Zambrano for a season. I didn't make it out there to see him because you weren't guaranteed to see him. So it kind of threw me off. But, you know, they're still there. They're still doing their thing. And I think, like you said, it might create the teams that aren't invited back if they're geographically close to each other. I mean, this creates an opportunity for them, too, because the fans already know the team, right? So with minor league baseball, you're not totally going there for the players all the time.
Yeah. Well, you know, and what it'll also do, Dan, is it should upgrade the level of play in the independent league, because, you know, you're going to get guys that were on minor league rosters instead of guys who were technically cast offs from those rosters. So, you know, it may end up being a better brand of baseball in the long run. So, well, we'll have to see.
Found a hornet's nest. Sorry. These guys. I'll have to get that one later. With the icicles.
Can they survive these
things? No, I could see them dead. Yeah, they're dead underneath it, but there's the home thingy. No, I was going to say, and, you know, like you said, shouldn't the quality of the teams that, you know, if they decide to form their own independent leagues and whatnot, I would think maybe the quality would get a little better because you would have the same guys on the team for the entire season as opposed to being shuffled around and having to create that atmosphere all over again, you know, every month. You know, can you imagine being in the Yankees minor league system 2 years ago? You know, I'm sure Clint played for every one of those teams.
You know, it won't diminish a guy's opportunity to make a team, because if you're good and you play well, they're going to find you. Somebody's going to hear about you, you know, and you're going to find your way onto their radar. I mean, obviously you're not going from the, you know, Chicago Dogs to the Chicago Cubs right away, But, you know, they may get a look at you and you may be brought into, you know, one of their minor league affiliates and get a chance to play there. So you'll still have opportunities. You just won't be signed by that team. You know, obviously it makes the road a little harder, but it, you know, it's not an impossible journey. We've seen plenty of guys do it, you know, after getting cut from a minor league team to go somewhere else and play. You know, Rich Hill went back to indie ball after all the injuries he's had, and, you know, he came back. You know, your guy Ricky spent a little time in indie ball before he had a final run with a couple teams. So, you know, you can do it.
And, you know, the other thing for the players, the minor leaguers, I forgot to mention, and I don't know the number of games. They're going to play 100. I think the single A is like 130, and the triple A up to like 145 games. So, I mean, it's essentially simulating your expected play in the Major League Baseball system. Because let's be honest, nobody plays 162 games. They are going to eliminate all-star stuff for the minor leagues. So take it how you want to take it. But I don't think that's a huge negative factor because, let's be honest, and one of the things they pointed out was the fact that minor league baseball is designed for fan-friendly experience and all that good stuff. So every game is like an all-star game. Some of the things Major League Baseball will have control of, they're going to be selling, you know, some of the advertisements themselves. The team gets theirs, and then the Major League team gets theirs selling. And, you know, 30-second spots in between, and the video boards in between innings and whatnot, some of that stuff. But, you know, the thing that, you know, maybe I think too much about stuff like this, but the thing that stood out to me about the number of games the minor leaguers will play starting this season or next season is, so if you kind of set Triple A at 140 games and Single A is only about a 10-game difference, you see where I'm going with that? Do you think this is a precursor to somehow having Major League Baseball drop back some games? I know it's the money, but I feel like it's time.
You know, it is something they've proposed. You know, remember, they sent a couple proposals asking for 154. So you do wonder if that's the number we eventually come up with. And, I mean, we'll find out soon because, you know, as you and I know, the CBA is up here at the end of this year.
Yeah.
So, you know, we'll definitely know what's going on. You know, we'll just kind of have to wait and see. And what I also like about this schedule, Dan, is I think it may be, you know, if teams handle it correctly, and unfortunately, I know there won't be all that will, especially a team like the Tampa Bay Rays, because they're going to want to reinvent the wheel. But this could give you an opportunity to get your pitchers more prepared to pitch at the major league level. And instead of having all these injuries, they may be used to being on a 5-man schedule by the time they get to the major league. So hopefully we'll see less injuries.
Yeah, I didn't even think of that, to be honest. That portion.
That was the first thing that popped into my head when we started rolling out the number of games. I was like, oh, hey, you know, look at this. So,
I mean, I didn't even bother or have time to look into what their current schedules are like, but I just saw the numbers and I'm like, oh, so Single A is getting you prepared for Triple A. Triple A is getting you prepared for the majors. But are they preparing all of us for a drop back in games? You know, I think it'll be interesting. I think if they drop back the games, do a minor adjustment to the current playoff format, Yeah, I don't. I think it could be good for baseball, and as long as they get rid of that stupid ass extra innings and man on second rule. God.
Yeah, God. They, you know, I keep hearing the media talk about how great it is, and this is awesome, and you know, this is the best rule ever. It's like, oh God, please shut up. It's like,
yeah,
you have
it's,
no
it's
idea.
Awesome when my kid's 10 years old. Watching little leaguers, so, yeah, it's perfect. I get it. We're watching grown-ass men play a game. They don't need any more advantage. Why not just tack another run on the board?
You know, it just it makes me crazy listening to those guys talk. I'm like, really? You really think this is a good rule, or are you just, you know, happy that you don't have to work frickin', you know, as long as you used to.
Well, I mean, if you're going to go that route, why not just, well, this wouldn't help, but, you know, let's see who can strike out three batters after 10 innings in a row. If you could strike out the side in the bottom of the 12th, you win, right?
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, if you can get three strikeouts or whatever, your team automatically wins, and that's how it goes. No,
you got to strike out the side,
just,
not just three strikeouts.
Oh, yeah, you got to strike out the side. So, you know, yeah, it just, you know, it gets ridiculous when it, you know, it gets like this. It's like, really, you know, stop being stupid about it, and you know, let them play the game how it's supposed to be. And I don't know, they make me insane sometimes. So, but yeah, well, hey, like I said, hey, I'm glad at least you like the present. So
yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I was like, did I sign up for something? I didn't, you never know with me. I get.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know how you are, so, you know.
I had Playboy for like 5 years for free. I don't even know how I got it.
Yeah, my roommate managed that same thing a long time ago. I don't know how that happened. All of a sudden he started getting the magazine, and he goes, he's like, who's paying for this? I'm like, I don't know. Like, you know.
I had no clue. It was when I lived with my wife, my girlfriend then, and I was like, did you order Playboy for me? No, why would I do that? I was like, I don't know. So then I just never brought it up again.
You're like, well, you know, whoever did, I guess, right?
Yeah. I ordered something somewhere, and I guess that was a gift that just kept on giving. But yeah, no, I mean, I don't know. I've tried actually, and I don't know if you've tried this on your tablets or whatever, but I don't know if it was specifically Baseball America, but I've tried, you know, looking at magazines in tablet form, and for whatever reason, it doesn't resonate as much. Like, I just, I'm not as interested. It has nothing to do with the old, you know how you've heard people, oh, I'd like to have something to touch in my hands. I'm like, well, you're touching the Kindle.
Yeah.
But, you know, it has nothing to do with that, having this magazine. It's just, I don't know, with sports, it's just a little bit different. You know, I don't know. Maybe it's just because that's what I grew up with. I don't know. I actually read the newspaper, mainly the sports section. But, you know, to me, you can't read a book in the dark, and that's why a Kindle is great. I don't have to fold, you know, I don't have to look for a bookmark anymore. I don't have to fold a page, and then when my kid opens the book and unflattens every, you know how it is with books. I don't have to worry. You know, I just click the little button, it bookmarks it, and then I shut it off. And then when I open it on my phone, it goes, hey, do you want to go to this page? Yes, I want to go there. So I regress. So, I mean, you know, thanks, Big Jack, again. I'll have a full minor league report sometime next week.
There you go.
You know, I mean, we've got everything in here. I have to, I was only looking at it last night. So after my fiasco at the dentist office, but, yeah, you know, this is, you know, again, thank you. This is awesome. I'll put it down right now because I keep looking. Hey, you know, gotta love prospects. But, no, it's kind of go back to the beginning. You know, I guess it is exciting to get the news for baseball. And then if this whole thing is happening this season, you know, great for them. And, you know, one little caveat is the all the teams that were invited, they have to sign a 10-year professional development license, I think it's called. It's PDL. So, you know, each team is working with them for 10 years. So, you know, the minor league team's going to benefit from major league. And, you know, I think it'll be cool for the minor league teams because, let's be honest, how much of that do we know does, you know, prior to this, learning about the clubhouse dues, you know, that seems kind of, it just reminds me of old school wrestling, right? Big Jack, where maybe, you know, where, you know, you get yourself, your younger brother and your friend booked and you tell the you know, the booker that it's one price, but then you tell your best friend, supposedly your little brother, that they get not the price that he's, you know, the booker's paying them. So,
yeah,
you know, it just seems kind of shady when you hear that. So, for minor league teams to have been, you know, having that policy adopted. I mean, it's not the 1920s anymore. You know, if you didn't pay your dues, did you, you know, get hung off the roof or something? So I think it's good that they're getting rid of some of these old practices, and Major League Baseball, the Cubs, will have more involvement in their minor league team other than just, hey, give me that guy because we need him up this week because Yu Darvish got hurt, you know, things like that. So, I don't know. I think it's going to be a good thing. It's just going to be, like anything else, a hard adjustment. I do find it kind of funny, though, that all these revamps and everything kind of more accepted because of what happened with COVID and everyone understands that money was lost and things like that. So, fill that into your conspiracy bubble. on the other effects of COVID. So, but Big Jack, I'll have to keep you updated on our MLB.TV subscription if I get my usual deal that I've been getting, or, well, you know, it might be closer to regular season, so you might not get to watch that many Yankees preseason games on the YES Network with your favorite guys.
Yeah. That would be unfortunate, you know, if I could not game. So, you know, I don't know what I would do with myself.
Yeah, I just, Big Jack, I don't know what I'm going to do this baseball season when, you know, on the other side of my office, I have one TV with just one screen where I go in my office, sit in this not so comfortable chair, and I could pull up MLB.TV on my two computer monitors, even the third one, and, you know, you got the multi-split screen. Oh, no, we're not getting paid to sell MLB.TV right now. But, you know, on one screen, I can have four games going. The other screen, I can have four games going. We're talking late night, though, so I can have the Dodgers, the Giants, the Angels, you know, the Mariners. I can have them all on and watch them all. Oh, and don't forget about my iPad that's attached to the wall right above my monitor. I can have another game going on there. Yeah. So it's going to be exciting watching baseball this year.
Yeah, you know, I'm looking forward to it coming back and, you know, having a full season. And, you know, hopefully there's no damn, you know, COVID interruptions and all that stuff. So we'll, you know, we'll see how it goes, but here's hoping, right?
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, now how did your fantasy teams roll out there last week? Did you have some good luck?
No, I don't even want to talk about it. No, I got beat up this week or last week.
Yeah, no. Luckily, my my hockey team started playing better. I don't know how or why, just kind of out of the blue, they all of a sudden started playing well, and I was like, well, okay, I'll take it. You know, I was like, thank you. I didn't know how else to kind of react to it. So I'm hoping it continues, but I still, you know, I'm sure you've seen it too. The NHL has had a lot of delays due to the COVID-19, you know, pandemic. It's just, it's been, you know, rough to get your, you know, get your team set, your lineup set, and, you know, all that stuff without having to go in and, you know, seeing who's playing or how it, you know, how they are or what the deal is or losing guys. So, you know, just kind of nuts.
Yeah,
have you dealt with a lot of that?
I'm dealing with it every single day. It seems like, you know, I mean, I started off the season great. You know, like, I think the first week I had like seven goals, goalie starts. You know, I mean, just this great amount of what do you call it? Just I was just dominating, kicking ass. And then, you know, these just continued postponements. I can't even say the word. It drives me nuts. You know, teams are playing today, and then all of a sudden they're out for a week. You know, so I'm not saying I gave up, but I think, unfortunately, I think this is going to be that season of wash for me where I'm just going to, you know, skate along. Just ride out the storm, you know. Got any more cliches I can use?
Maybe. No, let me think. No, probably not. So, you know. But yeah, no, I was just kind of happy to see my team play better. I'm still. You know, I think I'm in 11th place or something, so I've improved. I think at one point I was 18 or 19 out of 20. So I'm happy that I made up some ground. You know, we'll see how the, you know, how these next few weeks go. But, you know, I just kind of hope. And, I did notice my my basketball team is currently I'm fifth and you're sixth, so we're both doing decently there.
Yeah, you know, I wish this week ended today because I'm sitting at 9-2. You know, your problem though, not your problem, but the trouble you're going to have, Big Jack. We're going to have to do our own podcast just for our sport, our fantasy leagues one day. But, you know, the problem you're going to have is the man in front of you is a huge nemesis and the thorn of everyone in our league, Secret Squirrel. So,
yeah.
You know, for some reason, you know, he beat me by 1 point. Oh, no, that's me. That's me. You're Euro Steppen. So you're in a good spot. You know, as I was saying, Secret Squirrel beat me by 1 point in hockey last week. And, or was that this? No, last week in basketball.
We're back tomorrow for the Facebook page. Don't forget to put it in the video. Now, Dan, while I'm sitting, one of the